Broadcasting from the super secret underground bunker at World Headquarters, this is Sci-Fi for Me Radio.
Stand by. Accessing primary security protocols. Your access has been approved. Welcome to Level 11P7.
Greetings, everyone. Welcome to this episode of Level 11P7. We are in the afterlife. Sorts.
Is that the name of the episode?
That's the name of the episode, Afterlife.
I was expecting something more.
Well, that's what it was called.
Well, no, I'm just saying, we're in the afterlife now, I was expecting...
So basically...
I gotta go through eternity with you people?
Yeah.
So basically...
Sorry.
And Cammy skipped out.
I haven't even gotten a life yet.
Hang on.
Now we're already past.
Wait a minute.
This clearly isn't heaven. I think Cammy's kind of nice, but she gets to go to heaven. We're stuck. Hey, this is
purgatory.
This could be purgatory. This is the waiting room.
Yeah.
Right.
Do you remember Beetlejuice?
The podcast that never ends.
Well, we've done some of those.
Yeah.
It felt like it's this is never going to end.
Hour six.
Yeah. This is episode 53 of Level 11P7. Joining me here in the studio, my name is Jason Hunt, by the way. I am the publisher, fearless leader.
Really? You're totally fearless?
I am.
He's the leader without fear.
Wait a minute. I left it in my other pants.
Fear being a nickname for somebody who's not here, right?
That's right. That's right.
Where are your brown pants?
Fear is my imaginary friend. sitting across the table, I'll get it out. Use the words, man. Maya Aides is here.
Good evening.
Dan Handley.
Hello.
And Timothy Harvey.
Hello.
And I have the Tigger mug.
You have the Tigger mug. And, oh, yes, that prompts me to remind everyone that on Instagram we have started this week because Cthulhu told us to. We have started the Monday morning mugshot. So check out our Instagram feed, and you will see every Monday morning or sometime Monday morning we'll post a new mugshot.
And when Cthulhu tells us to do something, we do it.
All hail Cthulhu.
So somebody needs to take a picture of me and Tigger tonight.
Yes, we will do that.
Okay.
Because we want to treasure this moment of not visualizing the live action Winnie the Pooh, which has been announced.
Mm-hmm. Oh golly.
They're gonna make it out of Play-Doh.
It's bad Hollywood decisions all the way down, folks.
And moving right along.
Live action Smurfs.
Well, hey, it made enough money for a sequel.
Let's clarify that for a second. The CG Smurfs would have been a whole lot better than the live action Smurfs.
True.
We didn't get live action Smurfs. We had a live action movie with Smurfs in it.
Yes.
But
this is true. Because
live action Smurfs would just be...
That'd be so weird.
My eyes.
We digress early, don't we?
I'm pretty sure you could actually find that, but it's a slightly different rating.
Because
there's a parody for all that stuff now.
Yes.
Yep.
Including Guardians of the Galaxy.
Including Guardians of the Galaxy.
Oh, no.
The safe-ish for work trailer for that just premiered
the
other day.
I saw a Sesame Street parody.
No. Just please tell me just a regular parody.
No.
Ah!
No, wait. You haven't let me finish.
Finish.
A Sesame Street parody of Game of Thrones.
Yes. Okay. Oh, okay. Okay. Good. I was like,
no.
That's why they call me Big Bird. Ah!
Okay.
That's where we were going.
We have digressed early.
When did I lose control of this room?
When did you have control of this room?
Well, we were talking about, you know.
Good luck with that one.
If I was writing checks. It would be a little bit easier, I think.
Yeah,
all right.
Yeah,
so let's get back to the topic at hand. We are talking about Afterlife, the episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
We're supposed
some
to be
fun surprises.
About it
how do we follow that?
Right?
You know?
Okay.
This is gonna be rather
with
mundane.
A Sesame Street parody of it?
Let's go to the Little Black Box.
Little Black Box, yes.
Yeah.
That is the focus of the
It's small.
Some
it's black. It's sort of cubish.
And we find out tonight that it is DNA coded.
Well, no, we don't. They say
that.
Out,
that's right. Yeah. That's right. Gemma said it was.
She said that, and she said that it was changing, and she said all kinds of things that may or may not be true.
Apparently, there may have been some deception happening in the halls of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Bum, bum, bum.
But which
to
S.H.I.E.L.D.?
No
on both
one's
sides,
surprised.
Maybe. Yeah. Well, I find it interesting. Well, let's go through all of this. We have S.H.I.E.L.D. We have Gonza S.H.I.E.L.D. is now in charge of the facility, the SSR
yes.
facility.
Mm-hmm.
Agent May is in custody.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Fitz and Simmons are still in the lab, and Gonzalez did not bring cupcakes.
So he did not.
He doesn't convince them to help. Although Simmons kind of leans that way after Bobby has a little conversation with her.
Actually, were they expecting Gonza to bring... Gonzalez to bring cupcakes,
well,
or was it?
No, Gonzalez made the comment
was it
that
Bobby that they were expecting to bring cupcakes.
Gonzalez,
okay,
because Gonzalez made the comment
he
that
think,
that Coulson got Fitz
cupcakes.
And Simmons. No, that was the joke, though.
I know. But
okay,
just
you're trying
look
to
look at him.
No, you're trying to logic the joke. Don't logic the joke.
To breaking down a joke is like dissecting a frog. When you're done,
oh, it's gross.
There you go.
Yeah.
So don't do that.
So it's basically come to the real S.H.I.E.L.D. side. We have cupcakes.
Pretty much.
Yes.
Well,
No.
Come to the real S.H.I.E.L.D. side. Crap. We were supposed to bring cupcakes.
We promise you cupcakes.
I thought
this would have gone better if you'd brought cupcakes. We didn't bring cupcakes.
Now,
you should have brought cupcakes.
It should be noted for the record that we have coffee.
Yes.
Here, but we don't have cupcakes.
Wait.
No
cupcakes?
No,
oh,
cupcakes.
We're done. I'm out of here.
As long as you got the cookies, we're
my
good.
Contract clearly states.
You got a contract?
No.
I never.
Oh, wait. Actually,
no.
I did
I
sign one.
It. I never. Yeah, you did. A long time ago.
You. Oh.
I don't think it's.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
You it hasn't benefited me at all.
You weren't supposed to do that.
I signed a contract as well, but I was supposed to get a good payoff for my soul.
Oh,
I'm
so
still waiting
sorry.
For that.
The thing of it is, though, you didn't sign in blood.
No.
Okay.
I knew mine wasn't worth enough to actually get much of a good deal. I was like, no, I'm going to hold on to it. Maybe
well,
it might appreciate in value.
Well, the thing is, every so often, Jason doubles my pay.
Really?
But it doesn't change.
Everybody's pay gets doubled every 3 months.
Which explains my vacation time.
We've just gone completely off the rails here. Okay, let's see.
Okay,
this is
serious.
What happens when Cammy leaves.
I'm sorry.
Right? We're
gonna no.
We're gonna blame
she
this on
been,
Cammy.
She would have been right here with us.
Okay, so
we could try to blame her, but it wouldn't be fair.
You know what I think part of
fair.
This is. You know what I think the part of this is, Mr.
What?
Harvey?
What's
I think
that?
Part of this is you and me blowing off
Hugo
Award
we've
pressure.
Been
steam.
We've been playing in the dark place of the recent Hugo Awards controversy and that has led us down some less than savory paths because the internet is full of
unsavory.
Candy,
let's
candy
just leave
and
it
unicorns.
That.
See, and I haven't run across a whole lot of that yet. But we're not going to talk about that.
But I think
in
some respect, we are blowing off a little. We're, it's,
yeah.
We're getting we're relaxing and playing a little bit in a way that we. It feels nice.
Yeah, and we're not going to be able to do that when
in
we finally
try
to
maintain some level of sanity.
So okay, so let's just kind of in the 6 minutes we have before the break, let's go through. We actually have gone through two-thirds of the first segment, not talking about anything.
Okay,
okay. So Sky has been taken
to... So we're a Seinfeld episode then.
Yes.
Now.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. No okay. Soup for you.
Back. Come on, get back on the track.
So Sky has been taken to a city called Laishi.
Yes.
Which is Chinese
which sounds
for
like
afterlife.
Fruit.
Right.
And they just... this is where... all of the Inhumans
or some
have been gathered together. Well, as many as they can find have been gathered together in this city. Some of whom have not been changed because apparently there's a process.
You have, and a waiting list.
You have to be an Eagle Scout before you can switch over into being a power person. And Sky skipped ahead of the line.
So did Reyna.
Used a diviner in a Kree city, and everybody's looking at her going, well, huh? Well, I think you're all that, aren't you? You know, and she's like, I would, I would completely do away with it. Take the gift away.
And I have a problem with that because she keeps saying over and over again, I didn't want this. I didn't ask for this. But she did step in there. She did go in there on her own accord.
Okay, yes, but she walked in there in order to stop Raina from doing whatever she was going to do. I mean, Skye never knew that something like this was going to happen. So from her perspective, she didn't want this change and all of this process. This wasn't the end goal for her. Yeah,
right. Having powers.
Stopping Raina was the goal, not going through the Terrigenesis and having powers. That was never a goal.
Okay,
and from that standpoint, Skye didn't want any of this. And that's what she's saying. Is she's like, take it. I don't want it.
Although Raina definitely did. Raina was...
Well, she wanted something, but she didn't like what she got.
She didn't like what you got.
See, and I keep telling my kid, and he doesn't get it either. For.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. So she's in the city. We meet Lincoln. Lincoln Campbell, is that what I said his name was? Lincoln? Mm-hmm. He's a character from Marvel Comics, part of the Inhumans group. He has been assigned to be her handler to help transition into her new life as an Inhuman. Although they haven't said it yet.
What do you mean they haven't said?
The word Inhuman.
Mm. Yeah, and there's some, and we can talk about it in the second half of the program, but there's some very interesting differences between what we're seeing here with the context of the Inhumans versus the comic book Inhumans. Just the structure of this sort of thing.
Right.
So.
The progression of how they actually happen, you mean?
Well, yeah, and there's a word that has not popped up yet.
Okay, and we're saving that for next.
We're going to tease that.
And
the word is goober. After the break, we'll talk about that after the break.
Blast it, Dan!
Spoilers.
But no, there's a word that has not popped up in the show at all.
Yeah.
That applies very much to Raina.
Okay.
So
we'll talk about that after the break. Now, in the meantime, while Skye is in Lychee, and they're trying to convince her, Lincoln's trying to convince her that this is a gift. It's not a curse. It's something you learn to live with. You learn to
control
it, and it becomes a part of you, and you'll learn to appreciate it. You just got to give it time. So while that's going on, Cal has been locked up in a room with no windows, and he's basically been freaking out because he doesn't know what day it is.
Shockingly,
that's what he does.
He's not dealing with it well.
And so he figures out that they have found Skye, and she's there at the city. He still wants to see her, and they won't let her. Meantime, we've got S.H.I.E.L.D. versus S.H.I.E.L.D. going on.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what I want to see? I want to see
the annual softball game.
You know the Marvel comics that do the artwork for each episode?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
I want to see a cover. Coulson and Gonzalez dressed as Spy versus Spy from Mad Magazine.
Absolutely.
Oh, that'd be fun.
That's what I want to see. I want to see Coulson in a white suit.
Okay, but you remember how every one of those comic strips ended?
Yes. But it was a comic book death. And they came back, right?
Well, that's actually, they had an endless supply of spies to die.
We don't know that it was the same spy every time. Mm. I mean, they all looked the same.
Well,
they could be clones.
There were times that they hinted that they had a whole bunch of spies.
Yeah. Well, okay, so we've got Gonzalez on the base. May is in custody. Coulson and Hunter have gone to the retreat. The house that Banner built.
Yes.
Which is strong enough to hold a Hulk unless they bring
a battering ram.
Which they did.
Yeah.
Which only lasts for an hour, really?
Well,
took him an hour to break through.
The battering ram doesn't last for an hour. It takes an hour.
The
battering ram can get through in an hour, sure.
Right, but...
I'm sorry, I think that's a pretty sturdy door if it's going to take an hour for a battery ram to knock it down.
We're talking about the Hulk.
It's a log cabin.
It's not a log cabin.
I know, but it's... You're not going to hold the Hulk there for very long.
It's the cabin, the banner belt.
It's a delaying tactic.
Yeah.
Well, see, and the idea is because if the Hulk is contained for a certain amount of time, eventually he runs out of steam.
Yeah,
he calms down and he gets back under control, and then he's banner again. An hour, hour and a half, he should be fine. So that's the theory. So now we've got not-so-S.H.I.E.L.D. coming in and taking Coulson and Hunter.
Gonzo S.H.I.E.L.D.
I keep wanting to say Lincoln. It's not. It's Hunter. And they manage to steal a Quinjet because the backup shows up, and it's Agent Mike Peterson, otherwise known as Deathlok, who has not been anywhere until now.
Yeah, we haven't seen him in
apparently has
ages.
Been overseas following up leads on Mr. List, who was the one Hydra leader who got away in the purge here from a few weeks ago. And he's gotten some upgrades that allow him to download the user manual for the Quinjet in about 30 seconds. And so now he can fly a Quinjet.
Cool. Nice.
But that,
it was good to see
that
him.
Exchange, that exchange behind him when
I know,
was
I know
like,
Kung Fu. Show me.
Oh, boy.
Now see, and now nowadays that could either be a Chuck reference or it can now be an iZombie reference because iZombie did the same thing.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Because she ate the brains and now she knows Kung Fu. I know Kung Fu, but yeah, it's Chuck.
It's the Matrix.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, you could go back further if you want to go back.
You
want
to go back? I mean,
old man.
Admittedly, you know, why go further back than Chuck? I mean, this is true.
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, anything past the 80s is just, you know,
superfluous.
I mean, why even bother, right? Okay.
Unless you have a good jump program.
But we do have an interesting thing going on between Fitz and Simmons.
Yes.
Because...
some tensions.
Simmons and Fitz, they figure out if they can get the box away. They have a little switcheroo, and this is something that we haven't seen between them for a while.
Yeah.
They're actually working together, and they're actually on the same page, reading each other's minds, catching each other's hints, figuring it out.
Mm-hmm.
And Fitz is like, might as well just make you pack my bag, which she does.
Mm-hmm.
And he manages to squirrel away the real box. And Gemma's got a fake box now inside, and Fitz
leaves.
She must have
had that ready, all, you know.
Yeah, you got to wonder where that came from.
Yeah, because
That was real quick.
Not easy to just duplicate.
No. Where do you think it came from?
She just happened to have one lying around.
That's gonna, I think that's going to be a question that's going to come up. Because
Coulson gave it to her, I bet.
Mm.
Remember, remember the project that he's had her working on?
That was...
may not have been Skye's gloves. She may have been working on that completely on her own, and she brought it to him. Coulson could have had
it's
her
possible.
Working on
it's
the
possible.
Box.
I think it's going. We're going to have it be revealed. It's going to be the. It's going to be because
yep.
it's too. It's too much a. Well, conveniently, I had this replica.
Well, because Coulson, because you remember earlier in an episode, Coulson pulled Gemma in and he says, I've got something I want you to work on.
Right.
Yeah.
I think that was the fake box.
And we thought it was something else. But...
well, the suggestion is that it's the gloves for Skye.
Right.
Or a way of containing Skye or
which is
literally
the
putting
yeah,
her down if needed or... something.
No, because she brought him the case with the gloves.
Yeah, I know.
But remember when he opened up when Fitz opened up his backpack at the end, that case, there's a similar looking case in his backpack.
Mm.
So it's entirely possible that case that Gemma brought Coulson
was
the fake box.
Wow, that
not
was
necessarily the gloves.
That was serendipitous.
It's a complete misdirect.
Yeah, no kidding.
At least I'm going to assume that because, you know, sometimes the writers can be smart that way.
They could be.
Maybe.
They could.
Okay, when we get back from the break, we are going to analyze and we're going to talk words because there's words that have not been spoken, according to Mr. Harvey.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
So we will deal with that after we refill our coffee mugs and let you hear about other shows that are here on Sci-Fi for Me Radio. And Level 117 will be back after this. Stand by.
Our transmitters are made from hand-wavium. This is Sci-Fi for Me Radio.
Hi, this is Jason Hunt, and if you're one of the dedicated listeners for this show, first of all, thank you. Second, you are sharing with others, are you not? And you should be aware by now, we have many shows as part of Sci-Fi for Me Radio. Our Marvel discussion on Level 117, the DC chat on the Rogues Gallery, Sci-Fi for Chicks talking about various topics, which we also do in mixed company on the Echo Chamber, and H2O, which is our one-on-one discussion between Mr. Harvey and myself, now syndicated over at Amazing Stories Magazine. Sci-Fi for Me Radio is more than one show, and we'd like to invite you to join us for all of it, or at least try it out and see what you think. And also check out Sci-Fi for Me TV, that's our YouTube channel, where we have interviews, convention panel video, and Week in Review, where we deliver a digest of the news of the week. All part of giving you the most bang for your buck. Oh yeah, wait, no, it's free. So check it out, Sci-Fi for Me Radio and Sci-Fi for Me TV, all part of SciFiForMe.com, your portal to the science fiction multiverse.
Hi folks, my name is Timothy Harvey, and I am one of the co-hosts of H2O, the weekly show about everything genre that I host with Mr. Jason Hunt, and we talk about pretty much anything you need to hear about, or want to hear about, or didn't know you needed to hear about in the world of sci-fi, fantasy, horror, science fiction, all these great things that we cover every week. And it is just a opportunity for you to tune in and listen to some really, really fun stuff. H2O, scififorme.com. We'd love to have you listen.
And now, back to Level 11D7, the only 100% Hydra-free podcast on the internet. Hail Hydra.
Back on Level 11D7, Jason Hunt here along with Maya Aids.
Yodio.
Tim Harvey. Dan Handley.
Hello.
You have to use the microphone, sir.
I know.
Yes. Talk into.
Okay, and we are talking about Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., the episode Afterlife, and Mr. Harvey says that there was a word that has not been said yet.
Yes.
What would that word be?
And the word is?
Pomegranate.
Well, now it's been said. We don't need to go on. Deviants. The deviants. And I don't mean deviants with a C. Deviant. With a T.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of like what I am on mm-hmm. a regular basis.
Yeah, a little bit like that,
something
yeah.
like that. Okay. He's actually a really nice guy, folks. I don't know.
He really is. No, he is. Don't say things like that.
Okay, so the deviant too many ways to make a T sound like a C. They are not actually part of the Inhumans, right? But they're kind of the same. They're an element. They're an offshoot of humanity. They were...
Haven't they already called these Inhumans?
Well, yeah, but these aren't Inhumans.
What?
These are the Deviants.
Okay, but...
The Celestials.
Right.
And the Celestials, we did get a nod to the Celestials in Guardians of the Galaxy.
But within the context of the show, the only person who has actually said the word Inhuman mm-hmm. has been Fitz.
Right.
We haven't actually said the Inhumans. Yeah. We haven't introduced... I mean, we're introducing the concept, but as far as them having a name for a group, the Inhumans, mm-hmm. that hasn't been part of it.
So I guess it's more that we've been saying the word than...
Right, well,
because we know where they're going.
We know where they're going with it.
Yeah.
But the thing is that we've only seen pretty Inhumans. I mean, yeah, we've got Eyeless. But
we've
other
got
than
Raina,
that,
who that, may or may Raina, not be...
We've only seen one person who looks like a monster. Well, the Deviants in Marvel were uh-huh. more likely to look like monsters than the Inhumans. Now, in the comic book...
Raina calls herself a monster.
Sure. But in the comic book, obviously, you've got characters on the Inhumans side that are more... that are not as pretty, not as superhero-looking, right?
You mean the dog?
I mean, cuddly.
The dog? No, not yet. Certainly the dog, but also just some of the other characters in the humans, because in humans come, you know, a lot of times the Terrigen Mist makes them look different than normal.
Right.
But on this show, every time we're getting more and more, you know, we're seeing more of the Inhumans, they tend to look a lot like us.
Hmm.
You know, we just watched an episode full of about, you know, a couple dozen of them.
Well, they haven't
a whole city
yet.
Of them.
Yeah.
Well, no, I assume that most of those people were not actually
they
changed.
Haven't been exposed to the mist yet.
Yeah, that was part of that, because you know what Lincoln had been telling Sky was gets selected every two or three years, and then you have this process to prep for it, and then mm-hmm. you have the transition and stuff. And you're saying that's not consistent with what's in the book?
No, it's not consistent with what's in the comic, because in the comic it's a separate society entirely. They're not integrated with us. they're not somebody that they find in regular society and then bring back. This is an entirely separate world.
It's like Atlantis.
They are not living among us because they're afraid
because
of what
they're inhuman.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and they're afraid of what we would do to them to some degree. Because they're vastly outnumbered by us. Normal humanity vastly outnumbers humans, and they might be incredibly powerful. It's going to be pretty amazing. It's going to be pretty interesting when they roll out, Black Bolt in the movie universe, whether it's Vin Diesel or not. considering that it's the entire film, he will probably only make a noise once.
Yep.
And I'm not even sure how they're going to make that work.
After we've seen what they've done with Sky's powers,
I just wonder how that's going to sound.
Oh yeah.
Right.
Right. What if they did it silent?
Well, that could be a very effective way to do it. For those of you who don't know, Black Bolt is the king of the Inhumans, the leader of the Inhumans, and his power is that his voice is any noise he makes with his voice unleashes incredible destruction. So a whisper could level a city.
He's the ultimate loudmouth.
If he screams. he could crack the planet. So,
that would suck.
Yeah. So he's quiet. He's
ruined somebody's day that way.
He has to be completely quiet. I mean, he cannot make a noise. And his wife Medusa, who manipulable hair, not snakes though. Basically speaks for him. They know each other so well that she can read.
Like read his mind.
Yeah, what kind? More or less.
Sort of telepathy.
So anyway, it's you've got all this stuff going on. So it's all very much, I believe that I'd have to look this up again, but I believe that they reach a certain age and they're exposed to the mist. Mm-hmm. There could be a limited number of years that they're allowed to do it, but it's part of the culture. You reach a certain point and you find out who you are.
You could right. be exposed.
As opposed to
like jumping off a cliff to prove you're a man type of thing.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah. But yeah. So these folks being littered out through regular society and then being pulled, and which, would really be very, very impractical in this connected world that we have today. It's like, oh, it's time for you to come to the mysterious city that nobody knows where it is, and we're going to expose you to a mist. And then, we're going to test you. Apparently,
Facebook selfie
for a long time.
Lee Chi.
And of course, no one's got GPS on their phones.
Right.
No. Well, none of them have phones there.
Yeah. They're all very, very.
But they have pizza.
They're all very mellow for somebody who've been yanked up out of there.
Or cupcakes.
And how would you have that conversation with somebody? We're gonna spend a long time with you determining whether or not you're even worthy of this transformation that you didn't know anything about until we just told you.
City. I got the impression though that the people that are living in that city have always been in that city.
But that's not what he was saying.
Impression that I got.
Well, that may be, but that's not how he was describing it to her. That's not how he's describing it to Sky.
No. We find people with the gene marker and all of this,
and then we sit there and so they
go through a screening process.
She jumped ahead in line. Well, what kind of? Right. I thought it was very odd, and of course we were very quickly understanding that they were not telling her anywhere near the level of, the truth.
yeah, they are definitely hiding.
There's a certain degree of, is that truthiness? Is that what the Stephen Colbert thing, the truthiness? Yeah.
Well, I find it interesting, though, at the end of the episode, she finds that Raina is there in the same compound.
Mm-hmm.
Almost loses control enough to kill her, but doesn't. And then her mother shows up.
Although she's not identified that way.
Yeah,
to her.
Sky doesn't know she's her mother.
No, but basically, she then gets a speech from this total stranger looking at her going, we'll work together. And then if you decide, it's all very.
If we don't have a connection.
And it's like, this is either the strangest, kind of creepy thing to hear from some woman who I just met, or hang on a second.
Who looks a little bit like a put-together China doll that got fell off the shelf.
Are you my mummy?
Yeah, exactly.
Are you my mummy?
Yeah, she does. She looks. Jason pointed that out, too, when we were watching it. So she looks like she's been put back together.
Yeah.
Yep. Wonder how that happened. We're going to get that story, I expect.
I expect.
Well, all the king's horses.
Not with the help of Cal, apparently.
Well, we don't know.
Well,
see,
didn't
because,
it seem like
see,
he just...
Here's the thing.
Didn't it seem like he left her?
A couple of weeks ago, or whenever it was, or three or four weeks ago now, when the reader came into the football stadium and pulled Cal out of there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they brought him to the compound and said, they want to meet you. You have to go and talk to her.
Right.
Right. And I said then...
I know you did.
That Skye's mother is alive.
Mm-hmm.
But I was expecting to see that meeting. We did not get to see that meeting.
No, we
so
didn't.
So either we're going to get it in a flashback here pretty soon, or it's going to be completely left alone. But that conversation we haven't seen yet, because whatever the result of that, you know, however that conversation went, it resulted in Cal being completely locked up.
Right.
And not being able to get out. And now we've got Mom coming back in saying, it's her, it's Daisy, she's here. And Cal's like, can I see her yet? And she's like, no. Can you imagine the frustration that he must be feeling? But
the look on his face was like,
no,
it didn't sit well.
No, but he's having to, and Reader even says it tonight. You know, Gordon says, you know, you don't have the self control,
right?
You know, you're doing this to yourself, and in all of this, and so it's going to be interesting to see just how that plot thread develops to see whether or not Cal's going to be able to get himself
under control,
contained.
So
I imagine he'll start twitching like Wilson Fisk.
is this because of his chemical experimentations on himself?
Yes. That's why he's called Mr. Hyde.
Okay.
Yeah.
So he used to have more control over himself before he started all of this.
He used to be a normal chemical. Human. He used to be a normal human, and then wants to be
normal in air quote humans who do not have good self control.
Well, yeah, but I think the implication been that the thing that drove him over the edge was his wife being taken from him.
Yes.
Right, and her so being hacked up,
and so he then became obsessed with finding a way to take revenge, and so he looked into the various things that he could do to become.
Yeah.
Like her.
A
more like
threat.
Her.
A threat to...
Yeah, he was experimenting on himself in order to augment himself.
Right.
Make himself more, better, faster, whatever, stronger.
There's a song in there somewhere.
Something like that.
And that's the result of, you know, bad chemistry. That'll do that to you. And that's where we are now.
My question was... Was he unstable before he started doing that?
I don't
know the character from the comic books.
We
was
haven't
he
seen
like that
him
before,
he's not. There's,
or has
there's
he always been?
This is definitely the MCU version of Mr. Hyde. This is not
okay.
And
so
we haven't actually seen him very much before.
No.
Finding his wife dead, so we don't know exactly how he was before.
I'm going to guess that he was probably not
as.
Yeah.
Not as unstable.
This seems to be what happens when you decide you want to, you know, find the different chemical ways to make yourself very, very strong and hard to kill.
As opposed to using gamma radiation.
Right. Which, you know, it's
because
worked out well.
That's so much better.
So basically he just threw a bunch of chemicals together and said, hey, let's try it.
Exactly. That's what it sounds like.
Well, honestly, in the Marvel universe, that is a legitimate way to get superpowers.
That's true. Yes. Sometimes it involves
radiation.
Sometimes it doesn't.
Yeah.
Radiation is being bit by radiation. Well, a lot of radiation.
Yeah.
Radiation's got a recurring
a lot
theme.
Of radiation.
Yeah.
When did this stuff start getting written? In the 50s and 60s?
Yeah.
Mm.
But yeah, it's like most of the Marvel powers range of things, it's kind of hand waving them.
Yeah. Well, and really, if you look at the DC side of things, it's all kind of the same thing.
Well,
because, you know,
well,
how do you get powers?
Book.
Well,
you get some kind of an accident that involves chemicals, some kind
DC's...
of accident involves radiation,
sure, but,
or you're an alien,
well,
or
DC,
there's
but
a
DC
genetic.
Does, DC does a lot more magic than aliens.
Well, that's true.
So when you're, you know, when your flagship character is strange visitor from another planet...
Well, he's not particularly a visitor.
He can't go home.
Well, he can.
He can. He did.
He did.
He came back.
That's right.
Because there wasn't anything there.
Well, he can still go home.
Live on a rock.
What's that great line from Gross Point Blank? It's like, you can't go home, but you can shop there.
Well, technically, to him, home would be Smallville, wouldn't it?
Well, now, yeah, sure.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
So, and he goes home all the time.
Yeah, I don't know what they're talking about.
Wait a minute. Yeah, no, you can't stare too long at the direction of how super people get superpowers. Now,
but he doesn't really have superpowers, particularly. I mean, he's
very, very strong. And he's very hard. We've noticed that he's been injured quite a bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm.
And he heals pretty quickly just by based on the basis of what we've seen in the show.
The strength factor is connected to his rage.
So okay. we have not gotten a complete breakdown of his powers in the context of the show.
Okay, I've seen that he can destroy every piece of furniture in the room.
Pretty much.
Well, okay, so yes,
In other words, don't take him to IKEA anytime soon.
Yeah.
His secret power is that he's actually...
I could do that.
he's actually a 70s rock star. And
if you put him in an IKEA store with all those 100 cats, he might do okay.
Actually, his secret power is that he's really Keith Richards.
Oh, jeez.
He'll never die.
He'll never die.
Well, that explains him able to take all those chemicals, right?
Mm-hmm. He's still alive.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Speaking of still alive,
it was nice to see Mike Peterson.
Yes.
It was.
Yes.
Better costume now.
Better costume, yes. Yeah. Much better costume. And
his face looks better.
He's in control of himself and is on Coulson's side, it looks like, which...
It was nice to see him in control of himself, because that was probably the hardest thing, was seeing him unable to make decisions based on his own thought process.
Mm-hmm. Although the special effects when he shot the other Quinjet were a little bit clunky, I thought.
Yeah, I would agree. I would agree.
We ran out of money. Just make it fall to the ground. It didn't blow up. You know, they went right in. But when it fell, it looked odd.
Well,
they didn't completely render that out.
Obviously,
very well.
Was not trying to kill them.
No, right. I'm just saying the actual effects process, the visual effects.
No, I agree. I just.
It just didn't look finished.
No, it didn't.
So they loaded him with icers.
I don't know. I think those were ion. I think those were ion cannon type things.
I was
joking. They interfere with the electrical.
Also,
systems.
Not explained within the show.
Yeah.
Right. Sometimes it just is.
Yeah.
It's just something that's there and you just let it go.
Just go on.
Gonzalez makes Agent May an offer.
Sort of.
Could refuse.
She could refuse. I don't think she's gonna.
She might take us.
Well, and he also takes a tactical risk that, quite frankly, is one of the stupidest things I've seen anybody on this show do in a long time, because...
Hands her a loaded gun,
and the only reason she doesn't pull the trigger
is because she can't
believe he's that dumb.
Yeah.
She's certain it's not loaded.
But let's look at this a little bit, though, because do you really think that she would pull the trigger?
Yes.
Not knowing everything that's going on. Because they're still in the dark. They still don't quite know where everybody is on this thing.
Considering, she knows who Phil Coulson is.
Right.
And she knows that these people are coming after Phil. Yes, she would pull the trigger.
Do you think she would?
I think she would. I think that we know
it wasn't going to do her any good, though.
Yeah, it's not going to get her out.
It's not going to get her out. It's not going to get Coulson out.
Armed again. Do you really think that they're going to stand in between her and Coulson if she's got a gun?
She is called the cavalry.
Do you think if she did shoot Gonzalez, do you think she'd ever get out of that room?
That's what I'm saying. Yes.
No?
I think she would.
I don't know that she would.
Yeah.
Because she's Agent May. Because
I think other people
I don't think she'd make it off the boat.
She'd take the boat down with her.
But then we wouldn't find out what's in the cargo hold.
Well,
we still have to find out what's in the cargo hold.
But I think I think that
may not be the same boat.
Well,
it's the same boat.
And I think honestly, that's kind of the point of how everyone is treating her character. for all the fact that it's like, oh, you know, she'd fight her way out. She would, because that's the way we establish her, that basically she's the person you don't get in the way of.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, the very fact that he would give her a loaded gun is the fact that he's, you know, saying you could do that.
Right.
And the fact that, you know, like I said, she's, there's no way that she's looking at him and going, you cannot be that dumb.
But I've seen it written, noted in several places, and this is one of the things that a lot of people have problem with television and make-believe and stuff. The fact that a loaded gun weighs more than an empty gun, and you would think that Agent May would be able to tell the difference between a loaded gun and an empty gun, well, just based on how much it weighs.
It depends on the model of gun and if she's familiar with that particular model.
I mean, really?
Well, the thing is...
Well, hold on a second. What do we got here?
We don't have any guns.
Speaking of somebody who's gone out shooting many times, it all depends on the gun. If it's not a gun that you're familiar with,
the weight balance is not only that, but how well can you tell the weight of something that you have not just held? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, there's... Okay, this comic book, which is a terrible example, but it's one of the few things we have that's actually loose lying around that I can, you know. But if, you know.
Visual aids on a podcast, ladies and gentlemen.
Right, there you go. So I am holding the latest issue of. The first issue of Princess Leia.
Yep. Which wasn't that good.
In my left hand, and in my right hand, I'm holding the first issue of Darth Vader. Darth Vader is heavier.
Slightly better.
Well, it's also heavier.
Yes.
And I can tell that because I'm holding them and I can,
it's the armor.
It's a comparative.
Okay, but here's the thing. What's my reference point right now?
Right.
I don't have one. And so, I don't.
Because
I don't...
he dropped one, see, so you guys have to know that he dropped one and now
that's
he's trying
right.
to...
See, but that's what I have you see, for, to explain it.
Yeah. You know what we ought to do?
But here's the thing. Is
we should get Tom to come in and narrate whenever we do any of these
illustrations.
Yes.
He just dropped one of the comic books, and now he has one hand empty and one hand with a comic book.
That's brilliant. We'll have a podcast for the visually impaired.
There you go. Illustrating his
point. In a world.
But, I mean, Dan's completely right. She might be able to tell that it's unloaded.
If she's familiar with that particular model of firearm.
Which she probably is because it's May, but she's also not going to necessarily have a reference point to sit there and say, at this moment, I can tell this gun is unloaded because my hands were empty for how long?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's just not very, and I'm not saying that May can't, but not very many people can sit there and go, this weighs 6 pounds. Okay. I mean, how do you know that?
It's like the most common handgun out there is the M1911. But so many people make it, and there are so many different weights to just that. Even though it's the design is exactly the same,
right?
It all depends on the exact materials they use and the different features on it. So I mean, you never can tell.
But next week, speaking of Agent May.
Yes.
Next week, we're finally going to get Bahrain.
Oh.
We're going to find out what happened in Bahrain.
And you know why she's called the Cavalry.
You know what they're going to do? They're going to sit there and go, we're going to find out what's going to happen and what happened, why you're the Cavalry. However, we're going to spend about 99.9% of the episode doing something else. And then the next episode, we'll get the... Because,
I don't know. I think, it could carry over into two episodes, but it looks like we're going to get a bulk of it next week.
No, I think they really are. I think we're finally getting... Because just the clips that we saw, it looks very much like...
Who do you think that is that Coulson's talking to? Is she a blonde kind of? What are you looking for? I'm looking for pain. Who do you think that is?
I don't know.
I don't either.
It's way, way too early to be any of the fun characters like, Carol Danvers or something.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not going to be Carol Danvers. Although in that setting, it would make sense if she's Air Force.
That's true.
If we get the Air Force Carol Danvers, that would be a place to put her.
Which we really should. I mean, that'd be a great way to bring the character in because we've already got, you could tie in Iron Man with James
Rhodes. But it's not
Rhodes
Katie Sackhoff. So it's not Carol Danvers, right? Because we all know that Katie Sackhoff is the only one who can play
her. Many of us would like to see Katie Sackhoff play Carol Danvers, I will probably still like the character if somebody else plays it.
Who do you think they're going to get?
I have no idea. It's a really tough one because you're gonna, again, you're building a franchise, potentially building a franchise around this person.
And you've also got a lot of potentials have been thrown out, and a lot of them have been very good.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Like, well, Yvonne Strahovski, I think she'd be great at it. So.
Yeah. Probably.
But I think you really have to plan for somebody who's going to be around for at least 6 to 8 years playing the part.
So is it going to have to be young?
Somebody wants to commit to it.
Youngish.
Yeah.
And that doesn't necessarily mean, you know, 30s. I mean, that you're... to
Denise
some
Richards.
And that's all the time we have, folks, because we now have to find a place to put the body.
Just... don't go in the office.
Don't go in the office for a while.
Don't go in the swimming pool.
There's an office.
What? No. Where is it? Where is it on Night Vale that you're not supposed to go?
Dog park.
The dog park. That's right.
Don't go in the dog park.
That's the dog park. We don't have a dog park here.
Management has slipped a note under the door. Their tentacles have pulled it back under, and they've re-pulled it back out. So
yes. Speaking of tentacles, our very first Monday morning mugshot, because I got to cross promote here. Our first Monday morning mugshot on Instagram was Cthulhu with a branded scififorme.com coffee mug.
It's so kind of them to do that.
Yes, yes. Yes.
Well, we do obey him.
Cthulhu supports us, and you should too.
All hail the Dreadlord Cthulhu.
He supports us, and we obey him. That's the way it works.
Come, join us. Don't be afraid.
And share us with others.
One of us. Yes, that was Cthulhu stopped by my apartment.
Nice of him to do that.
In front and managed and kindly
did he bring cupcakes?
Kindly, Cthulhu always brings cupcakes. With the sprinkles on top too, he kindly posed in front of the Sci-Fi for Me website because I had it up on the computer, like you do.
Yes, nice of him.
And he drank all my coffee.
Oh,
that rotten tentacle.
And also of note that I've started Facebook Friday with Fearless Leader. It's a new video segment that I'm posting to Facebook on Friday. Facebook Friday
with a fearless leader,
which is just basically an update on things, you know, things that we're working on, what we're doing, and
by you.
That's right.
So, are you?
What other fearless leader is there?
I have no idea.
Well, that was my question. Is are you going to dress up like the fearless leader from Rocky and Bullwinkle?
I should.
Because I think you should. I think you really should.
I should.
That would kind of be awesome.
I have an eye patch.
You got to find the Natasha.
Mm.
Oh.
No, Natasha was with Boris, yes. Not with Fearless Leader.
Boris and Natasha.
I don't
Natasha.
Think Fearless Leader. Although, you should find
a Natasha. Why are you arguing with me? Shut up and find
I'm
with you, man.
My best friend keeps telling me that I got to find a girlfriend to get out of the basement. I don't know. Getting a Natasha would put me still in the basement.
It might be a lot more fun in the basement
with Natasha.
I do want to thank Tim for letting Cthulhu drink the coffee. That's what keeps him from being overly destructive.
Well,
at least for now.
Except the problem, he's supposed to lie dead but dreaming, and it's hard for him to do that when he's got all that caffeine in him.
I don't know. Who was telling me the other day? There was somebody who was telling me, I think, well maybe it was you, caffeine, that coffee doesn't do that, because it doesn't wake people up. There are some people...
It depends on the person. I mean, for example,
well,
I'm...
I have ADD, so it has a reverse effect on
me. I don't actually...
Wait, what was that? Squirrel!
I don't actually have... I can drink a pot of coffee and go to sleep.
Yeah.
It's... A large part of it is psychological for me. So,
this has been probably the most discombobulated episode that we have done so far.
Actually, I think we've talked this one other time.
I don't think so. We've talked more Tim about was not coffee.
Here,
than...
Tim was not here that day, and we just went.
So
nuts.
It's not just me.
Yeah, so it's not your fault.
But you know,
we could blame you
if you think about it. Not much happened this week on the show.
Not really.
It really kind of didn't.
No, yeah, there
didn't.
Really wasn't. Well, there was the box.
They did talk about Ward at the end.
Well, see, now that was the twist. That was the one surprise out of this episode is when Coulson kept saying, we've got backup coming. We all figured that Ward would show up because Ward's going to be in next week's episode.
Right. There's actually a blurb out. There's a because, you know.
Blurb.
Because they put this stuff out.
They do.
The network does this.
Yes.
Yes.
And so we knew that Ward was coming back. We knew that. And then there was going to be Coulson was going to somehow be using Ward. Which, of course, is going to end well.
Of course, because it always does.
Sky,
but we figured...
Sky, I love you, Sky. Because what's going to happen is that Agent 13 is going to sit there and go, you did what? You're like, oh, damn it.
Well, because we're going to get... because that was who we were expecting to show up today.
Right. Yeah,
and we got Deathlok instead.
Yeah.
So that was a nice touch. I wonder how long he's going to be around. How many episodes he's got.
I hope.
Before they kill him. Or
No.
Shoot him off into something.
He should join the team.
Who, Ward?
No, Peterson.
Oh,
Deathlok. He's not going to go. He's not going to be gone.
No, he'll be in the next episode. This is my prediction. He'll be in the next episode, and then he will be gone until
they need him.
Well, the end of the season. Probably the end of the season. They'll bring him back at the end of the season because of the big confrontation, whatever it is.
What I find interesting, and this is something that I'm curious about, because Daredevil drops this week. The 13 episodes and the first five were made available to press. Mm-hmm. I signed a form. I can't talk about it, but
I didn't sign the form.
I signed the form for you.
Damn it.
Because it's my name plastered all over the screener.
Oh, I can neither confirm at this time that I watched screeners with your password.
Anyway, so what I'm curious about because the Daredevil series dropping all 13 episodes at once, mm-hmm. there is an acknowledgement there. Yeah, because on Netflix, on Saturday, it hits Netflix, and all 13 episodes are going to be there to show.
I thought it was Friday this week.
No, it's Saturday.
Saturday, okay.
And
this weekend.
Yeah, so the question I have, because it references the Battle of New York
right.
in the first episode. Yeah. Because Hell's Kitchen now, because modern day Hell's Kitchen, New York now in real life is a pretty nice place.
Yeah.
And so basically the premise of this is that Hell's Kitchen has completely been
annihilated.
It's not a good place anymore as a result of all of the destruction and stuff and everybody's rebuilding. Mm-hmm. So there's your tie-in with the overall cinematic universe. And there is a mention at one point of some of the superhero types that are in there. Mm-hmm. But it pretty much stands alone by itself as far as I can tell so far. Now, what I'm curious about is if you get 13 episodes all at once that cover a specific span of time, mm-hmm. is that show going to reference anything else going on in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., or is Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. going to reference anything on Daredevil? Are they going to... They're not
probably
not for a while, because I think Daredevil is being billed as Marvel's street-level show.
Mm-hmm. Right.
What do you mean by street-level show?
It's not about powers.
Fisticuffs.
It's not about powers.
Knife fights and kidnappings.
Okay, so
and
gang war.
So
and
no
crime.
Superhero kind of things.
No, although there's and it's in the, and it's this isn't a spoiler if you've seen the trailer for Daredevil, because he references it as you know Daredevil is and he's not even called Daredevil at this point.
Not yet.
But he's been attacking these the part of the Russian mob.
Riffraff.
And the Kingpin's representative. Well, it's not like he's wearing a suit of armor or carrying a magic hammer.
Yeah.
He goes, if that was the case, then maybe I could see why he's beating the crap out of you guys. And
isn't he just the perfect slime?
He's so
much fun to watch.
He's
we can't. Yeah.
Yeah. No, there's some. There is. Suffice it to say that there are lots of reasons to watch this show, and without giving away anything.
But not with your kids. This is not a superhero show you can watch with your kids.
No, and they warned us about this. They did sit there and say that this is something that the tone is much much darker. It's Marvel's darkest show.
Which would be a good place to introduce
it
the
is
Punisher.
R-rated Marvel.
Yes, this is R-rated Marvel, and there's language. There is no nudity so far as we can tell. But there is definitely violence, and there is a couple of moments in the first four episodes that if basically you will sit there and go, okay, we're going there. Okay, yeah. All right. Now I know how far we're willing to go.
And then the next one happens, you go, oh, we're going there.
We're going there now. But it.
So I will be hitting the pause button, walking around the room and coming back and maybe or maybe
you'll probably,
not.
Maybe. You'll probably be, oh, I don't know. You probably
I
just
won't
gonna,
make
ooh,
it.
Ooh, 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 ooh.
I won't make it
just
there at
just,
all.
Just say this to yourself. That's
only
gonna
make believe.
That's it's gonna itch believe. Like hell when it heals.
If it heals.
No.
No spoilers.
No spoilers. But no, it's
It's definitely gonna leave a mark though.
Just a little. We will say this, that having seen what we've seen so far, I think it's really good.
I do too.
I think it's one. I think it's yeah. I think it's.
It is definitely worth watching. But not with your kids.
No. And I think, okay.
And that's regretful, but
Let's qualify this. If your kids are teenagers, they're probably going to be okay. They're probably going to have seen. Maybe. It's going to depend on the kid.
Yeah.
Right?
Mine's almost 19.
Your 19-year-old's going to be fine.
Yeah.
Okay. Because your 19 has probably seen a level
She'll
violence.
Be holding my hand.
There you go. but I mean, so if she's, she's seen a rated R film, she might have seen a horror film in the past.
She might have.
Right. So. She might have seen a Taken movie, Mm. I mean, it's...
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. But at the same time, for younger audiences, it's a little...
You know what hit
There's
me,
a
though?
Level of brutality, which actually is in context of the storytelling perfectly fine, but mm-hmm. it's something you have to be prepared for.
What struck me as I'm watching these is... The level of violence and bloodiness in Daredevil mm-hmm. is actually, overall, comparatively speaking, is less than Justice League War. Because it's not splattering, flying, all of this stuff. I mean, there are certain moments.
Okay, well, here's the problem with Justice League War is that Justice League War leaves out the reality. They don't ever they never
or
actually
Flashpoint Paradox, one or the other. Well, both of them.
Well, Justice League War never addresses the fact that technically the parademons are all
people
still alive.
Yeah.
Ish.
I misspoke though. I meant Flashpoint Paradox.
Well,
because that's the one that my kid got onto me for.
But at least but Flashpoint Paradox and Daredevil both are adaptations of dark source material.
Yeah.
The difference is that Daredevil has had a long history of having a gritty, violent mm-hmm. feel. I mean, the best arcs of Daredevil have involved real violence.
Right. But I'm turning it just in terms of, because, if you're doing an R-rated that's very violent, mm-hmm. Street-level crime, we have gotten to a point where it's almost expected that there's blood going to be flying everywhere, and there's not in this show. I mean, you do have those moments where things happen. Mm-hmm. Can't really say what, but it's not every single time somebody has a fight. There's
the violence in this show is, and it's interesting because some of it is actually network. I think that if you were to see. Like a fight scene, if you were to put a fight scene between Ward and May
on Netflix,
you might get something that's on the level of one of the fight scenes, the fight scene at the end of the second episode.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is just, it's one of the best fight scenes I've seen in a long time.
Oh, yeah. The fight choreography on this is great. which actually prompts me to mention, because we've been talking about this, the fact that the Oscars have not got any kind of a stunt category.
Right.
And they should. And there's been a lot of talk lately about, should the Academy have a category for best stunts? And that particular place, that particular one, really would sell me on the idea of either the Motion Picture Academy or the Television Academy, either or both.
How long would you say that scene is?
Oh, that's 8 or 10 minutes.
Yeah, and it's just
long. It's a long fight.
But it's one of these things where you're watching. At no point are you going, could it just end? You're going,
yeah. It's like,
oh my God,
how is he still standing?
He got back up.
Yeah,
and you're like, ah, how did he get back up?
Yep.
Oh,
he got back up again. Wait. And they're still going.
And at no point, a lot of times you see that kind of thing, and you're like, oh, for the love of stay down. Stay down. Please stay down. Please
well,
stay down.
And the other thing is how like, oh, that's not what you're how thinking. Believable it is.
Oh, the fights.
Because you can just.
Okay. Well,
right, we can't tell.
Let's put this in perspective. You know how you watch some films and you look at the fight scene and you go, okay, if somebody ever really hits somebody else that hard,
yeah.
they're not getting up, or they've got broken bones, or they've got a broken
yep.
jaw.
Yep.
This is the kind of thing you sit there and watch and go, he's got a broken jaw, mm-hmm. or oh, that he's not going to be able to use that arm again, probably ever, and so there's a realness to it. There's a realness to the violence, which. Works so well in the context of the story. There's just, I mean, it's without giving any
the closest, much away. The closest I think we've seen on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. has been that fight between Ward and Mayor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but just take it.
Take that time.
And escalate
take,
it.
Take it, yeah. and add the body fluids that would be coming out of you if you're hit that hard.
Ugh.
Okay? I mean, that's, you know.
But not splatter, not splatter no, show. It's right. you know, it's just it's there.
Mm-hmm. Right. So it's and not to mention the fact I think that what they have definitely allowed themselves to do with, especially having this kind of, you know, contained storytelling mm-hmm. that we've seen so much in lately with,
right.
with the shorter runs and where you're able to tell a story without feeling like you got to tread water at any point
for 22 episodes
or at least 8 yeah. Certain seasons. Is that they're giving themselves room to breathe. It's not the kind of fast, it's not a
right
kind of
right.
pace.
Yeah, they're playing it over the 13 hours. They're just, you know, yeah. get it all done in 40
and
minutes
it kinda,
and go.
And it kind of feels like a comic book would end with a cliffhanger pretty much every episode.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Every
need to.
But every episode feels almost like it could be an issue.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep. And one of the things that we're going to do, and for those of you who don't go to our website very often or frequently,
and why not?
Yeah, really, we're gonna encourage you because there is an article right now. Savannah Rogers, one of our new contributors, mm-hmm. has we've posted an article from her yesterday on the real reason why the 2003 Daredevil movie tanked. It was not Ben Affleck's fault, but it's a good read. It does offer some interesting insights into the workings of the production model at the time mm-hmm. and give some explanations as to why that movie is not quite as good as it could have been.
And why most people who watch the director's cut find themselves appreciating the film more.
Yeah. So we encourage you to
That's
go...
That's often true.
Sometimes. It depends on...
Well, it depends on the director.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
And what their
depends,
cut was.
And it depends, in the case of Blade Runner, it depends on which director's cut you're talking about. But yeah, we do encourage you to go over to scififorme.com and read that article. And Savannah will be doing our coverage of Daredevil. And we have to figure out how we're going to do it. Because normally, like with this show... You have an episode, and we talk about the episode.
Right, but since Whereas this all gets dumped at
this,
once.
Yeah, this is all 13 episodes, and some of you are going to binge watch it, and some of you are going to watch it one or two or three at a time or whatever.
Right.
So we've got to figure out how to parcel out our coverage of the show. So that's going to be coming, but keep your eyes peeled on scififorme.com. We'll have that there. And next week we'll be back with another... discussion about Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And
we might actually talk about the episode.
What?
We might actually talk about the episode.
Well, we talked about the episode a little bit.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
We did. We did. You know, it's like Tim said, not a whole lot happened.
No, it's
Yeah,
true.
With all of our digressions,
it was a good,
we covered everything.
Yeah. it was a good episode. I didn't really catch very many Hand of the Writer moments.
You know what?
No. Anything there.
In many ways, it was a good character episode. Mm-hmm. It pushed our characters forward without a lot happening.
And it was a set. It was a setup episode.
Yeah, it was.
And it didn't feel like filler.
No,
it did not.
It didn't. And I'm going to be interested to see what Fitz does with Fury's box.
Yeah,
because that was the big. That was the big take. That was the big takeaway for tonight.
He's going to open it,
or he's going to deliver it to Coulson.
Sky meets her mom. Fitz gets the box.
And the sandwich.
And Fitz and... Oh, yeah. The sandwich was a nice touch. And that mm-hmm. was a nice callback to early days mm-hmm. of the first season.
Yeah.
You know, she made his sandwich. Yes.
Well, I think...
She loves him.
Yes.
Which we knew.
Yes.
But I think that for those of us who are a little concerned that we were going to get a real wedge between the two of them, It's like, you know what? Sometimes you fight with your friend.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
But then your friend makes you a sandwich and everything's okay.
Yes. Speaking of sandwiches.
You brought sandwiches?
I did not. I did
okay,
not.
Or cupcakes.
Look.
No, sandwiches, no
sandwiches,
no cupcakes.
No cupcakes, but I have coffee.
He doesn't love us anymore.
I know. Anymore?
He didn't love
what do
us
mean?
Before.
I let you in my house. I actually socialize with you people.
This does not really count as socializing.
I was gonna say.
Hey, you know,
and we yet, digress.
And yet no
I'm,
cupcakes.
I'm meeting you where I'm at. This oh, is as far boy. As I could go. Some people ask me, are you going to that thing?
I'm meeting you not even halfway.
That's right. That's right. Speaking of social, we are on all the social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Tumblr, YouTube, Google+, Pinterest. And I found, I saw an interesting,
use your words, man.
An interesting infographic
yes.
the
yes.
other day talking about the millennials and where they're getting their information. And, you know, as far as like what do we share, what kind of links we share and all that on the social media. And they're getting everything from Google+.
Really? I'm never on Google+.
Well, they get it from Facebook.
Right.
You know, Facebook. But
like
the next,
news information?
The next thing, everything. The next thing where they're getting it and sharing it,
well,
and all of that
so much
is
of this stuff
Google+.
So much of this stuff is news aggregate things anyway. Yeah. I mean,
it kind of gets me because Google+ still has a lot of tumbleweeds.
Yeah, well, see, and I'm sitting there thinking, wait, what about what happened to Twitter? Yeah, I thought Twitter was where everybody was posting all this stuff. But yeah, I'm going to have to go back and look at it again. But anyway, we are on Google+, as well as all of the other stuff. if you would like to, I already went through the list. I'm not going to go through the list twice in the same
fine,
show.
That's fine.
But you have your card.
I
might as well use it.
I did.
Again, but we digress.
So,
yes.
Now, if you want to give us your thoughts on this episode or any of the other episodes, you can send us an email, level1187@scififorme.com, or you can leave us a comment either on the social media. You can, Send us a note through Twitter. Use the hashtag level1187 or the hashtag #SciFiForMeRadio. And I keep getting told hashtags. We need to use hashtags.
Mm.
So hashtag #SciFiForMe. And that's going to do it for us this week. We'll be back next week to see what happened in Bahrain.
Oh yeah, we got it.
Yeah,
this is going to be fun.
That's going to be fun. All right, Maya Aides.
Good night,
Dan Handley.
Good night,
Tim Harvey.
Good night.
On behalf of all of us here at Sci-Fi for Me, I'm Jason Hunt. Thank you very much for listening. Please share this, subscribe on the various different apps that you can use to find us. Just look for Sci-Fi for Me Radio, and we will be back with another episode of Level 117 next week.
This has been a presentation of SciFiForMe.com. Copyright 2015 by Flaming Dog Media, LLC. All rights reserved. No portion of this program may be retransmitted without the express written consent of Flaming Dog Media. This is Sci-Fi for Me Radio.